I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It's possible to just get stronger and stronger in your faith and confidence in God. But it'll be directly connected with what you are hearing, what you are looking at and listening to, because what you hear, what you see, what you feed on, it will either be building you up or tearing you down. It'll either be putting fear in you or putting faith in you. And we're so glad you joined us today, because around here is a no-fear zone. Fear has to get out of here. We feed our faith. So we've been feeding our faith for a number of weeks now on what we're calling faith for provision. This is something you need every day of your life. Provision. I mean, whether it's something to eat, something to wear, a place to stay, a place to live, a way to go. And then beyond just existing subsistence, what about doing something for God? What about projects? What about building a church? What about an outreach of a ministry? What about a godly business? The list goes on. You will need provision for these things, right? Money, stuff, resources, equipment, favor, opportunity, places, times, whatever it is. And so, in order to have faith for that and to believe God to help you with that, you have to hear what He said. You can't have faith in Him based on nothing. This is something that people have made big mistakes in. You know, people say, well, I believe in God. And what they mean is they believe He exists. Well, that's a first step. But James says the demons believe.
Amen.
They believe God exists. And they tremble, but it doesn't do them any good. They believe He exists. They know He does. But they don't have faith for salvation. They don't have faith for any redemption. So how are we to have faith? Certainly it begins with believing He exists. But like Hebrews 11 talks about, you got to go on beyond that and believe He's a good God. He rewards those that, you know, genuinely seek Him. So everybody join your faith with this today, that's what we're doing. Lord, all of us agree together as touching this, that we do believe in Your very real existence, and we do believe in Your good character, that You're a good God. And when we reach out and draw near to You, You respond and You draw near to us, and that You are a rewarder of those that seriously seek You and genuinely seek You. We ask for the utterance. We ask for the answers. We ask for the help, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you look again, please, in the 23rd Psalm, and then we've been going to Exodus as well in the third chapter. But we've been on a series we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're going one by one through 30 reasons from the Scripture, truths from the Scriptures, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, just to say that, you'll encounter resistance amongst church people. Because even if people don't just come right out and say it immediately, a thought comes, well, yeah, but what about? And what if? And so many people try to ascertain the will of God by what's happening or what isn't happening, because they've been taught incorrectly that God is somehow controlling everything that happens in their life, and that, you know, it's mysterious and you can't understand it, but it's all His will and it's all His plan. This is one of the biggest lies that's been perpetuated against mankind. God is not responsible for everything that's happening in your and my life. It wasn't His choice. He's allowed us to make choices. And our choices are affecting whether He's even involved in our life at all. In the New Testament, He talks about that, you know, when we were lost, that we were without God in the world, without Christ and without God. Now, that doesn't mean that God is manipulating a bunch of hard times in your life. It means God's not even involved in your life because you didn't want Him. No, that's the case again and again, that the problem is not God pushing some undiscernible, mysterious agenda off on us, His unknowable will. No, it's that God is not even involved in your things. And unless you invite Him in, He won't be. You'll be on your own in this rough, cruel, cursed, death-filled earth without God. That's a bad situation. Remember, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door." And what? Knock. Does that mean that He's automatically inside with you, involved in your things? No. He said, "I'd like to come in. I'd like to help you. I got your answers right here," right? But if you don't invite Him in, He won't be in. I'm so thankful that years ago, the Lord helped me to see and help us to see. I needed Him. Hallelujah. And I wanted Him. And I invited Him in. And I bowed my knee and submitted myself to the Lordship of Jesus. Hallelujah. And He is involved in my life. And because of, we hadn't done everything perfect, you know that. But because of His involvement, a lot of good things have happened. Hallelujah. Things beyond what I'd have ever dreamed decades ago. Because He is a good God. He's an amazing Lord. He's a wonderful good Lord. But you must ask Him in. You must receive Him in. You don't have to wait. You don't have to become better to qualify. That's why He came, because you couldn't get good enough to do it on your own. If you've never received Him, let me lead you right now. Let's do it right. There's no reason to wait another moment. Whether or if you got away from the Lord and you need to come back, do it right now. Everybody say, "Father God, I believe in You. You are the great God. Creator of heaven and earth. Creator of human beings. I believe in You. In Your Son, Jesus, whom You sent to redeem us. Because we couldn't save ourselves. He died on the cross. He took our place. He was judged in our place. And He paid the full price for all of our sins, all of our rebellion, all of our disobedience. And He paid it all. And You raised Him from the dead, alive right now. King of kings, Lord of lords, soon to come again. Jesus, I receive You. I confess You as Lord of my life. I say, come in. Come in to every part of my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're serious about that? You mean that? He responds every time. And Romans 10 says, if you do what we just did, you're saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are and you will be in the day to come, in the judgment to come. You don't have to be afraid. You want to be ready to go all the time. People are leaving this place dying, you know, by the scores of thousands all the time. Every day somewhere on the earth, people are dying. People are leaving. That's just the way it is. But as a child of God, you've been delivered from the fear of death, and you're no longer subject to bondage. Is that great, or is that hallelujah great? Thank God, I've been delivered. Yeah, I'm going to leave here one of these days. And the Bible said to depart and be with Christ is far better than being here. So I don't have to dread it. I can look forward to it. But I don't want to leave early because I got a job to do, and I need to finish my job, and you do too, before we get out of here. And it's going to require some provision. Did you see how that worked out? I worked right into that. We're going to have some provision to get it done. But in order to have faith for provision, you have to have heard something about it, and you have to have decided that you believe that. You receive that word, you embrace that. Now, like we said before, the danger is religious tradition. And sadly, among many, many churches, Christians, ministers, believers, they have come to believe that God doesn't always want you to have abundance, that God uses poverty, He uses lack to teach you some things, to, you know, develop your piety or whatever. But where'd they get that? Did Abraham know that kind of God? Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Moses? And that's what we're talking about now in our 12th reason. We're sure abundant provision's always God's will for us all because of the great I Am. He does not change. People are saying He's changed. They wouldn't use those words. They'd try to backpedal on that. But He either is the same God that made Abram rich, or He's changed. People say, well, He, you know, no, that's, He didn't care about those things. He used to.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He used to. You know, you don't want to get too hung up on dress. And some dress things are Western or Eastern or whatever, so you have to distinguish. But I've had some folk ask me, because I still, you know, I'll put on a jacket or a tie or something to speak in minister. And people say, well, Brother Keith, you know, times have changed. You know, don't you know that? I thought, well, you know, I just watched the weather last night, and the guy had on a tie and a coat, you know, right? I just saw sports announcers, right? And they had this. Well, if they put on a coat and tie to bring the bad news, why can't I put on a coat and tie to bring the good news? And what people say, well, God don't care about these things. He used to. Have you read? He used to. He went into great detail for the priest example that their garments were to be for beauty and for glory. That if you had to buy them and buy the materials and they were all custom made, it would be pricey stuff, expensive stuff. He used to care about such things.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. When did the great I Am say, you know, I'm done with that. We're doing a new thing now. You can wear your unironed t-shirt and holes in your jeans are just fine. Huh? Flip-flops, okay. Maybe in the backyard, right, when you're grilling. But how many think everybody ought to make an effort, right, to do the best you can when it comes to the things of God? No, we're not putting on a fashion show. And if you don't have the expensive stuff, that ain't the deal. If you got 3 t-shirts, that's all you got, well, come to church, but get the good one.
Yeah.
Get the good t-shirt. Wouldn't hurt to press it a little bit. Is that right? Get the wrinkle out. Oh, somebody didn't like it, but that's okay. But I'm just making a point. When did God change? Because with a lot of people, even though they don't say it, you get the idea that it's a different God in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. Well, when did he change? Why would he change? If he's perfect, why would he change? Change to what? From perfection to what? No, he is the Almighty. He is the God, the great I Am. Not the I'm working on it. Not the I soon will be. Soon as we get everything tweaked and worked out. No. He is that he is. In Exodus, the third chapter, let's look at it again. Exodus 3, when Moses saw the burning bush, and he saw that it was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. It wasn't burning up. And so he came closer, and God spoke to him out of the fire. And among other things, he told him he was sending him, you know, to deliver his people out of from Pharaoh and Egyptian bondage. And Moses said in verse 13, Exodus 3:13, he said, "Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." And we said, if you look up this word, am, it means what we think in our modern English and language. But another word is to be. I am, to be, I be, or exist. I think that's a word that conveys the thought well to us. I exist. I exist. And we saw that in Hebrews 11:6, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. This is not something that you just rush past. You know, I've, in talking with people any number of times, I've realized as I'm talking to them, they've been around church, they've been around the things of God, but they've never been born again. You can become religious, even know the jargon and the phrases to use, doesn't mean you know God. Because they never made the choice that I believe God exists. And I've received Jesus, what we just did, as my Lord and Savior. It's not enough to think, well, you know, maybe there's a God, maybe there's not. I don't know what people call agnostic. You know, the atheist says there is no God. And the Bible calls that person a fool. He said, "Who are you calling a fool?" I didn't write it. I said the Bible. But, you know, if you're dependent on somebody for your every breath and your existence, and you're trying to go through life acting like they don't exist, you're not very smart. But it is a choice. It is a choice. And that's what, this is one of the most basic things, but you must not rush past it. And even though you have known it and believed it for a while, there's always so much more revelation about who he is. How many would like to understand more about he who has existed from eternity past to eternity future? What more could you learn about? Oh, it's unending what you could learn about that. But of all the things he could have said at that point, this is what he wanted them to know. And this is so foundational. I exist. Is God real? Yes, he is. Huh? Who is he? He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of the Bible that we're talking about and quoting out of. He's the God of Genesis, the God who made the heaven and the earth and Adam and Eve. He's the God and Father of our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus the Christ. And as we were reading yesterday's class, there is no other. There is no other God. There is none other than Him. How many are agreeing with this and saying, I believe He exists. I believe in the great God. Now, the thing that we were getting into, and I want to go over this again, in Malachi 3, and then we'll be going to James, the first chapter, if you want to go to these. You go to James, and I'll just read Malachi to you. Go to James 1. Yesterday's class, we read this at the end of it, Malachi 3 and 6. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. This is an anchor to our soul. This is the foundation we stand on. Everything down here in this earth and even in our solar system and even in our galaxy is temporary. We're told that, you know, one day our star will run out of fuel. It'll gravity will win. It'll collapse on itself and go supernova and all this kind of thing. Well, we don't know exactly when or how, but we're told in the Word that something's going to happen to our star. And we're told that the earth itself is going to melt with fervent heat. That's not, you know, could happen. God said it's going to happen. When? We don't know. But with that in mind, that kind of thing could really shake you to the core. You know, well, I can't even be sure of the ground I'm standing on. I can't be sure of the sun that comes up every morning and shines. No. No, that is not 100% sure. But that's why the psalmist said, in fact, go to Psalms. I was going to quote some of it to you, but go to Psalm 46. Thank you, Lord. There are answers in the Word. Huh? Amen. You know, answers make a lot of difference in your life. You go from wondering, even being confused and scared, to knowing and being sure and having peace and even joy. Man, that's a radical difference, right? Than being scared and confused and in the dark to knowing and having victory. Hallelujah. Well, listen to Psalm 46. David got this by the Spirit and spoke it out, sang it out, and it was recorded for us. He said, God is our refuge and strength. Very present. What does present mean? He's here. Right? He's here now. And see, that's part of what I said. I think our next point is going to be the names of God. And these two go together, and yet they're a little different too. One of the ways He revealed Himself is I am. I exist. Well, one of the compound redemptive names is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Well, He would have to exist to be there, right? You can't be somewhere if you don't exist. But He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, if that's real, notice that's real to Him, He's saying. Notice what that did to His soul. Therefore, what? This is the result of me being sure that God is, He exists, and He's with me. He's present with me. Because of that, I won't be afraid. Even though the earth be removed. Say what? Say what? Keep reading. Though the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea. Now that's a sight to behold. Right? Amen. The earth starts quaking and shaking. And I mean the core of the earth is heaving. And the mountain ranges just slide off into the ocean. That'd be a time when people would be scared. Scared out of their minds. Right? And He says what? I ain't scared. Say what? Say what? I ain't scared. I know that's not good English, but I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. Oh, come on, come on. No, I'm not. Because I know the one who made them.
Yes.
I know the one who made them.
Yes.
He exists.
Yes.
And he's present.
Yes.
With me.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
So whatever needs to happen, if he needs to put me in a bubble.
Amen.
If he needs to lift me up out of the way. Whatever needs to happen, he's got me.
Yes.
What are we going to do after this? He'll fix it. He'll fix it. He made this.
That's right.
He made this.
Yes.
If he says he's going to fix it, he'll fix it.
Amen.
I will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and trouble. What kind of tidal waves could that cause? I mean, we're talking upheaval of the elements of the planet. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. What is he saying? I won't be afraid. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. He said a lot of the things that are great, but he said, be still. Yeah, but God, mountains are sliding off into the sea. I know it. Shh, shh. So be still. God, stuff is going. I know, I know. Just relax. I got you. Be still and know what? Not wonder, not question, no. Oh, somebody say no, 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 that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts, that's one of his compound names, one of these Jehovah names. The Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, think about that. He is.
Yes.
He exists. He made the heavens. He made the earth. He made the stars. That puts us in a position of rest and peace. No matter what. Whether it's the judgment seat of Christ, whether it's the earth being removed, all of that, we can rest confidently in him. Not what we've done, but that Christ has already taken care of everything. He paid for everything. It's already been accepted. And God has given us his word that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never let us down. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, our time's up again. Come back tomorrow for some more. We'll see you soon here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.